Good morning. I'm Hazel Law. I'm here interviewing my aunt, Arnell Glasby. And we'll start with the question. First question, where were you born?
I'm Arnell Glasby. I was born at 624 8th Avenue Northeast, formerly known as Walker Avenue, in my grandparents' home.
And your grandparents' names?
And James and Cora Martin were my grandparents.
Okay. And how many siblings did you have?
I had three sisters and two brothers. At that time, all were born in Roanoke except my younger sister, Virginia May. She was born in Bluefield, West Virginia.
Okay, and were all of your siblings born at the home, or were any of them born in the hospital?
As far as I know, they all were born in the home. My second sister was born in Walker Avenue. She was born on, it's 547 7th Avenue Northeast. And that's got Northwest there, isn't it?
On a birth certificate, but it was actually Northeast. Yes, this birth certificate does read Northwest, but it was actually Northeast, in Northeast section of Virginia, of Roanoke.
As far as I can remember, and she was in Northeast.
And you were saying that a lot of the streets were numbered streets, but they also had names. Mm-hmm. So 7th Avenue was also known as
Patton.
Okay.
Best I can remember.
And now, this second sister was actually my mother, Estelle Franz. And it looks like here that she had there was a midwife. So were there doctors present or were there midwives?
Midwives, as far as I can remember. Now, my brother, George, had a doctor, I know, because he was named after Dr. Moore.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So tell me more about that, that happened.
Baby brother was born there at my grandmother's home. And the doctor came 1 week, and next week, 2 weeks later, they hadn't named the baby. So he said, I got to have a name for this birth certificate. So named the baby after me, which was George Alexander. And that's how my brother, his name was George Alexander Franz.
Oh, okay, that's great. And the doctor's name was actually George.
Dr. George Moore.
Oh.
George Alexander Moore.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And the year around, what year was that?
He was, my brother was born in 34, I think, 1934.
Okay, so Dr. Moore was practicing at that time
around
1934.
Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting because it looks like here on my mother's birth certificate, uh-huh, Estelle France, that her, says here on the birth certificate that, of course, back then on the birth certificate, they were still, you know, saying colored.
Uh-huh.
The birth certificate says a doctor or midwife, and at that time the midwife's name was Fanny Dagner,
Dagner,
D-A-G-N-E-R, mm-hmm, or Fanny, she was a midwife.
Midwife.
And her address was 625
8th Avenue Northwest. Now back to Estelle, it was Northwest because we lived on 7th Avenue Northwest for a short time.
Okay, for a short time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So her address would have been 547 7th Avenue Northwest.
Okay. And tell me about your earlier days. Now, Gainesboro is Northeast Roanoke, considered Northeast Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
And where you lived in Gainesboro, how does that area look today?
Oh, it's quite different. You can't imagine houses and things that were there when we lived there in Northeast section. It's altogether different. Now, they had Orange Avenue was Gainesboro Avenue at that time.
Okay.
And we had houses all up and down. And where the Civic Center is, Greater Mount Zion Church was there. Then they had grocery stores. But all through that area. And the blacks had, some blacks had small business through there.
Okay.
And my father had a barber shop on 4th Street.
Okay, and 4th Street, did that have a name or was it just
Well,
4th
as far
Street?
As I can remember, it's 4th Street, and I think it was Commonwealth Avenue. I'm not positive about that, but it was 4th Street, and he was in the shop then with another barber named Streeter, Mr. Streeter. And the shop was named Francis Barbershop.
Oh, okay.
The barbershop, for some reason, was set on fire. They said it was intentionally done. Barbershop burned down. So Daddy started working extra in Northwest Section with his cousin, his wife's cousin, Mr. Hines. So it was Hines Barbershop that he later worked in between working for the N&W and the coal mines. The okay. coal mines in West Virginia. Every time the coal mines would lay off, he'd come back and get work at the North and Western. So we moved quite a bit from Roanoke to West Virginia, back and forth.
Okay. And your father's name again was James Abe France.
Mm-hmm.
And the address at that time was 547 7th Avenue Northwest. And you were once telling me also that the other name for Orange Avenue or 460 in the Gainesboro area mm-hmm. was Old Lynchburg.
Lynchburg. How was a Lynchburg Avenue.
Lynchburg Avenue?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's where Orange, that's now it's Orange Avenue.
And then Orange Avenue.
But Lynchburg.
Right. And I do remember my mother, if you can remember uh-huh. also, that your family eventually, your father did work for Norfolk and Western Railroad,
uh-huh.
And you did say he also had his own Francis Barbershop. Okay, and
yeah.
do you remember the circumstances around, you know, which they burned the barbershop? You said it may have been set intentionally?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But it was proved out that it was intentionally set.
Oh, at so the investigation.
Mm-hmm, after they investigated.
Okay, well, but was your father at that time a licensed barber? Maybe you think that was, of course, that's speculation.
Oh, yes, he was okay. licensed because he finished the third grade. But he passed a state barber for Illinois and Virginia.
Okay, all right, and Virginia.
And Missouri. He passed all those, had license. So when we moved to Illinois, he had a little shop there. But back to being in Roanoke, before we left, we moved away in 1937. But I went to school.
Yeah, that was another mm-hmm. question. What were the schools that you attended here in
Roanoke? I attended Gregory, which was on 9th Avenue Northeast. It was a great big old gray building. I can remember that. And then we'd go to school, we'd have our prayer, we'd say Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Oh, at that time you were allowed to say prayer in school.
Prayer in school. We'd
okay.
say, say a little prayer. And then we would have recess and so forth. And for lunch, all we would have would be a bowl of soup, a sandwich, a cookie, and a little thing of milk. And a lot of times a piece of fruit. But every day you knew you were going to have a different type sandwich and soup, which was very filling. And I think now that how the kids waste food in the school.
Okay.
And then I went to Gilmer School. Now, we marched from Gregory School, which was on 9th Avenue. And at that time, they called that Ape Yard. They had the houses were in rows, brown houses in rows. And we marched with little flags from Gregory School to Gilmer School one morning.
Was that kind of like a graduation ceremony or?
No, it was going to the new school.
Oh, okay. So Gilmer replaced Gregory.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I see.
It was on 4th Avenue Northeast, Gilmer School.
Oh, so they gave all the children flags and
uh-huh,
that was the grand
flags.
Opening of
uh-huh.
Gilmer School.
Right.
Okay, so how long did you attend Gilmer?
As best I can remember, about 1 or 2 years, and then we left.
Do you remember any of your teachers in Gregory or Nellie
Reed? I remember Miss Nellie Reed in Gilmer, but I can't remember those in Gregory. Now, Miss Reed might have been with us there, because the school was a white school and it was opened up to black, and all the teachers went with the students to this school. So eventually Gregory was made a daycare center, I think they said, for a while, then they finally tore it down when the redevelopment came through there.
Okay. Now, with Gregory, though, was it Gregory all black school
For the blacks? Gilmer, too.
Oh, Gilmer was as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you just said something about one of them being a white school, or?
It was a white school that was gave to the black.
When they built the new school for the whites.
Yeah, the black got Gilmer.
Got Gilmer. Uh-huh. Okay, I understand now. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, then Gilmer became the elementary school, or the school, basically, for all blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Gregory was all black.
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And do you have any other remembrances of living in Northeast before moving, your father moved you and your siblings away to West Virginia and then Illinois? Were there any other incidents that you could remember from your very, very, evidently you were very, very young at that time?
Yeah, I was very young and not, I don't remember. But I do know that Northeast, where the Civic Center is, all on that side was a Greater Mount Zion Church and a grocery store. Some Jews or Sinners had a grocery store there. And houses was all up and down on 9th Avenue.
Okay. So the Civic Center now and the Ford car dealership, the post office, all of those buildings now, in other words, that was your home place and your growing up place.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you were basically born and grew up for a younger period of time in your life. And like you said, the redevelopment came along. And I think you were relating to me some of the incidences that you can remember when redevelopment came through and how they bought up the homes and how it affected the people.
Mm-hmm.
Could you relate
a little bit
about that?
When I came back to Roanoke in 1954, they were in the process of redeveloping the Northeast section. And they went up Lynchburg, up Orange Avenue. It was a graveyard. They took a lot of the graves. All this was still on Lynchburg. And all the way up, they took houses. And at that point, the people wasn't getting grants. That first group that they went through there, the people, well, not them, just died of heart attacks. It upset them so.
Infected them so
They
greatly.
Didn't give them a grant or nothing, but the next group that went through when they went over, they got Aunt Liz's house, but Aunt Liz, they gave them a little money. But that first group, they didn't get anything.
And your Aunt Lizzie, you're speaking about, is Elizabeth Martin?
Martin, yeah. And she was on 6th Avenue, that was Harrison.
Okay.
And they went all that was the grocery store down through that, houses, all that in the, I do remember the, when I came back, they still had black and white signs for
Segregation. Things were still segregated at that time.
And then growing up here, when I came back, I think that had stopped. But growing up, before I left, then the streetcars, you had to go in the back door of the streetcars. They had a black curtain up. The black sat behind that curtain. The white sat up front. You had to go into the back, and they had conduct on the white, on the front, and a conduct on the back. And you had to go in the back, pay your fare, and go in the back and sit behind that curtain.
So you went up to the front of the bus and you paid your fare up there, but then you had to get off and then come back and come get on the bus through the back door?
No, you go in the back door and pay your fare right there.
Oh, okay. There was a conductor back there collecting. Uh-huh. Oh, you did say a conductor back there collecting the fare from the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then a black curtain was separating the black section from the white section. Right. Okay. Yeah, that was some of the remembrances that I was getting at earlier that you do remember about the time that you did spend here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay. So you do remember riding, and there were streetcars back then in Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, streetcars ran down through Northeast.
Okay. What about the movies and that type thing? Or did you go to any
movies? No, we were too, go to any movie, didn't have any money to go to the movie, I guess. But when I came back to Roanoke, they had the Virginia Theater and theater downtown, and you have to, I don't know about that, but I know all the blacks were going to Virginia Theater.
Virginia Theater.
Then they had one downtown. But the hospital, Lewis Gale, I'll never forget that. I went over to see one of my friends and had to go upstairs to the attic.
They had the blacks.
The blacks was upstairs in the attic. I said, well, this don't beat it all.
Because I guess it was kind of different from growing up when you were living in Illinois somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you related a real interesting story to me about when you did move back to Roanoke, and as I understand it, you moved back to Roanoke basically to take care of your mother?
Well,
or,
yes.
Or to live?
To help take care of her, but basically, divorce was, left my first husband, brought my children back
home to raise them here in Roanoke. And it was an interesting story that you did say your father worked for, at that time, Norfolk and Western.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he did move to Illinois, he also worked for the railroad, Illinois Central, there.
Right.
So tell me about the incident of how you were able to ride the train from Illinois to down north, from north to Illinois, down south to Virginia.
I decided to move back to Virginia. So I told my father, he said, I was living in southern Illinois, so I had to go up to Chicago to get the train. And I rode a train from Carbondale to Chicago. I had to change in Chicago. So at that time, my father was a port on the train. So he said, you come on up and I'll get your ticket. So went to the window, got the ticket, and he came back. He said, now, don't you move. He said, I'm going to give you this ticket, but do not move. So when we got down to West Virginia line, I forget where all the blacks had to move to the back.
So
they had a coach for the black. So the conductor came, woke me up, and he said, it's time for you to have to go back to the back coach. He said, I said, how far is it back then? He said, it's about 7 cars back. I said, well, I got these children, and I said, they're asleep. I'm not going to wake up my children and go 7 cars back to get in the black coach back there. Well, that's the law. You got to move. I said, well, I'm not moving. I said right there, I said, I'm not moving. So I turned on over and went on back to sleep. So pretty soon, here come the two up, shook me on my shoulder. Miss, you got to move. I said, I am not moving. I said, I am absolutely not moving. And he said, well, where did she get this? This is the first class ticket. Said, we can't make her move.
Okay.
So I stayed on there and rode into Virginia. But when I got off the train in Virginia.
Here in Roanoke?
Uh-huh. Here in Roanoke.
Go ahead.
And they took my picture. I said, well, wonder why they taking my picture. And when I got off, my aunt was way down at the end of the train. And she was just hollering, trying to wave me to come down there. And they finally got up where I was at. She said, honey, what you doing? You and the wife said, how'd you get on this train? So I told Dad about it. He just laughed. I called him back and told him. He said, that's why I told you not to move, because I knew you was going to be made to move.
Okay, that was very interesting. Uh-huh. That sounds like a Rosa Parks story on the train, actually on the train. Yeah, that was very interesting. So you did come back to Roanoke, and that was in 1954. Mm-hmm. And then you did notice, like you said, how things were changing. The redevelopment were coming in down in Gainesboro area and taking up all those homes, buying up all those homes for what was eventually the Civic Center and now the car dealership.
Yeah, it was Holiday Inn over there.
That's exactly right. The Holiday Inn.
And then all through that business, now the post office. And it's hard to, unless you were raised here and saw it, you would never imagine how the homes were down in there, mm-hmm. how the people.
How blacks actually, what you're saying, uh-huh. basically how the blacks or African Americans now were actually homeowners, had mm-hmm. homes all down through there.
That's true.
And of course, when they decide to redevelop as it is, or as it were, to improve supposedly the community, it is, you know, the blacks are the first to be affected. Mm-hmm. And as you said, they bought up the homes and paid a little or nothing, and the people could not afford to, didn't have enough money to buy, you know, other homes and things. Mm-hmm. So you said literally killed them. A lot of people died from heart attacks, as you said. Mm-hmm. And were there other incidents? So you were a member of the Old Greater Mount Zion Church.
Yes.
That was in Northeast.
Yeah, our family was really... We all started out there in Greater, you know, it was in Mount Zion Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. In later years, I don't know whether that church burned or what happened to it, but they had service at the YMCA over on, I can't think of the name of that street, for a long time, and then they built Greater Mount Zion. They named it Greater Mount Zion, but originally it was Mount Zion Baptist Church.
And where was the original one? Because I can remember Greater Mount Zion over here, I think sitting up like on a hill or a little bit elevated,
uh-huh.
I believe.
Yeah.
And it was on, what was the name of the street that Greater Mount Zion was on at that time?
I think that was 4th Street, Commonwealth. I'm not positive. Okay.
Uh-huh. Was that the older one? Now, was that the one, original one before it burned down? Mm-hmm. Did they rebuild it on the same site?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I see.
Built it on the same site. And I think it burned. I'm not positive.
Originally.
It's so long.
But now the one that they rebuilt, they tore that down. The redevelopment.
Yeah.
They tore that down
and relocated in
Northwest.
Northwest. On, I think it's Grayson Avenue.
Yeah, down around in Grayson Avenue now, where the Greater Mount Zion Church is. Right. And your minister at that time over at Greater Mount Zion, who was the pastor at that time?
I don't know who the pastor was. When I moved back, I just went a couple of times with my mother to take her down. I went a couple of times, but then I had to pay cab fare and bus fare to get to Greater Mount Zion, Then I just, Jerusalem was up there in Southwest. And was closer, so I could take my children and walk across the bridge. So that's why I joined Jerusalem Church, because it was closer to me. And then when I went to several churches, when I came to Roanoke, kind of searching for a church home. But when I walked in Jerusalem, I felt a warm feeling come over me, and I knew that was the place for me to stop at.
Mm-hmm.
So then I joined Jerusalem. And at that time, Reverend Hunter was still our pastor, and he retired. Then we had Reverend Boyd, and then he split our church. A lot of members went with him. And then Reverend Young came to our church. So when my sister Estelle moved back to Roanoke, she joined Jerusalem. So that was her home church in Virginia.
Right. Here, I think you have a little, you were saying here, yeah, this is where you were saying, you do remember back in Virginia when you rode the streetcar. which was seldom, and you did say you did get on at the back door and sat behind a black curtain which separated whites from the blacks. And again, being small, you didn't realize what was going on at the time, but that was segregation. And here's some other things here. If you just said you walked to church.
Now, that was after we went. That was when we were in Illinois.
Oh, okay. But you do remember in Virginia where you did get on that streetcar.
Yeah, we
street
walked
car.
To church. Yeah. And let me see. When I did walk to church here in Roanoke Cross, the bridge to Jerusalem.
To Jerusalem. But at Greater Mount Zion, that the Jerusalem was in Southwest.
Yeah.
But Greater Mount Zion was here in the Gainsborough section.
Yes, I rode the bus down in the cab when I had the money.
Okay. But that was after you came back to Roanoke.
After I came back.
And when you came back to Roanoke, you lived down on Gilmer Avenue.
Yeah, at 1326 with Mama.
Oh, 1326 Gilmer Avenue. I understand.
Northwest. Right.
Northwest.
And then I bought that little house across from her.
Right. Okay. So, back over, those were your best remembrances, however, of your Gainsborough days. But those were very, very young. When you were very, very young. And then when you came back, you did see how the redevelopment had taken over basically your birthplace down in Greensboro on 7th and 8th Avenue and all of that. So those were your remembrances of Gainsborough, right?
Yeah, because I didn't remember too much after I came back on it that they were taking, you know, that they took the land and everything, the houses.
Right, and when you relayed that to your sister, who was actually born, Estelle, my mother, who was actually born also down in Gainsborough, it upset.
No, she was born in Northwest section.
Okay, Northwest. Okay, 7th Avenue, Northwest. Okay.
Yeah, because we lived there for a short time, but I was too small to really remember.
Okay, but you did state that there were some black businesses down in the Gainsborough area before they tore it.
And they had a drugstore on Henry Street and restaurant. Well, after I came back, I remember some black businesses all up and down Henry Street in the Gainsborough area.
Okay. What
they had a drugstore. I was new, freshly coming back, and I didn't get involved in a whole lot of things that was going on.
Okay.
But I knew they had a drugstore on Henry Street. They had the Pruney Cleaners was there.
Okay.
And they had a restaurant. It was in the club, nightclubs.
Okay.
Then they had the Elf's Home.
Okay.
That was around the corner on I think that was Patton. I can't remember. Northwest. But, you know, it's kind of foggy.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You saying the nightclubs that was up on Henry Street?
Yeah. They had the, what's the name of that club?
308?
Yeah, 308. And it was one of the nice, it was the best nice nightclubs they had. They had real good bands and order in there. They didn't have no whole lot of fighting and carrying on.
Okay. It was a nice place where you could go and enjoy yourself and not worry about a whole lot of fighting or
then
shooting.
Then they had
everything.
Morocco. That was a nice club. That's where my brother met his wife in Morocco.
Okay.
And met Buck in Morocco.
Okay. And do you remember anything about the Dumas Hotel? Or
it was there. And bands that came to Roanoke would stay there.
Okay.
Couldn't stay in the Hotel Roanoke.
Okay.
And they had the Star City Auditorium, and then they had another auditorium that it burned. The big, I can't think of a name. That's where they used to have the dances and the big bands. The white was set up in the balcony, but black would be down on the floor.
Oh, the whites were in the balcony
at
that club.
Yeah. In that auditorium.
Okay. It wasn't the Star City Auditorium?
No, it wasn't. Oh, okay. It was another auditorium over It's a great big brick building.
Oh, okay.
Can't think of the name of that.
Well, that was a reverse there uh-huh. that the whites had to set up in the balcony.
Yeah, it was spectators, they called
them. Oh, it was called them spectators. Uh-huh. But the, so it was a black club, but the whites...
No, it was an auditorium.
Okay.
It was a city auditorium. I don't know what the name of that auditorium
city
was.
Auditorium. Uh-huh. And,
Now, the Star City Auditorium was, I think that was mostly black, I think.
Okay.
Where the mostly black people. Well, the black went to this other auditorium, but it was, the whites would be spectators.
Spectators.
But sometimes they'd come down on the floor and dance.
Oh, really?
To the tune of the big bands.
Uh-huh. Okay. But you do have a little remembrance of the Dumas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to share with us?
Oh, I remember this way ahead or behind or something, but I remember the first refrigerator that I ever saw. You had to put 25 cents in it. 25 cents to keep it running. And that went toward the $8 payment a month. It was at my grandmother's house. They had put 25 cents. You didn't put 25 cents in it. You didn't have no cold food. Yeah,
well, we thank you so very much for the interview. And once again, this is Ernell Glasby, who was born...